Good to see everybody here, even though we're kind of limited in number, but we're glad to be here. Hopefully I'm going to make you squirm in your seats today. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to get on your case today because I'm getting on my own too, so nothing about that. See, one of the biggest problems, one of our biggest problems, each of us, we can say, is lying. And lying is sinful. That ought to be nothing to discuss there. Non-debatable. Lying is sinful. And yet we do it all the time. Sometimes we mean to do it. Sometimes we don't mean to do it. But it just happens. And so I think that's one reason why when Paul gave the advice to pray without ceasing, that's a good reason, because yes, we do need forgiveness of our sins. So let's learn some things from this lesson. See, we read that liars will be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21:8, and jump down to verse 12, 21:12. Their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. And the problem is, we find that lying is so easy to do. It is so much easier, because sometimes we know if we spoke the truth, it might hurt somebody's feelings. If we spoke the truth, it might make us look bad. If we spoke the truth, somebody wouldn't like us. So guess what? It's easier to lie and keep those feelings away. But we lie to hide the truth sometimes. The truth is, we probably did something we shouldn't have done. And we lie about it. And we lie to make ourselves look better. I mean, yeah, I mean, we told people what we actually were, I mean, they might have a lower of opinion of us. And we lie for, and without any number of reasons. We just lie. And yeah, sometimes we lie to ourselves, we lie to God, we lie to our children, we lie to our spouse, we lie to our employer, we lie to our creditors. I mean, how many times have you said, well, the check's in the mail, and it's still sitting there on your counter, or you haven't even written the check yet, but you said, the check is in the mail. That is a lie. So folks, we need to look at this seriously, because we are guilty. We have to acknowledge that we are guilty, and then we got to make a determination not to. You know, sometimes in the business world, well, the boss will tell you, well, just make up a story. Just tell them something. And I got in a big shouting match with the boss one time because I'm not going to lie. I'm going to tell the truth. So, we remember the lie of the serpent. You remember Genesis chapter 3, thou shalt not surely die. And David did a lie to cover up his adultery. Then he committed murder to hide that lie. And of course, Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, lying to the Holy Spirit, cost them their lives. And of course, we know there's another lie that's even spoken in the Bible, there is no God. Psalm 53, verse 1. Or Psalm 14 and verse 1. 14 and 53 are practically identical. And so the fool says there is no God. And of course we know what we learn is Satan is the father of lies. So lying comes from Satan. And if we lie, then we are serving Satan. And that's not going to help us get to heaven. So we want to go to heaven. So lying is also known as deception, deceit, hypocrisy. I mean, all of those words fit in there. And you can see where hypocrisy is nothing more than a big lie. You're trying to get people to think something that's not true. I mean, that is hypocrisy. You're trying to deceive people and thinking you're good when in fact you realize you're not. I mean, the deception, keep it back from them. Maybe they won't make a harsh judgment of me. I mean, that seems to be the case. And so we lie to others. You know, 1 John 1:6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, and we lie and do not practice the truth. So we can tell everybody, oh yeah, I walk with God all the time. And yet if we're practicing sin, then that's nothing more than an outright lie. Even though we don't like to think of it as a lie, we might consider it an error in judgment. But no, it's still a lie. A lie is a lie, whether it's a little white lie or whether it's a great big lie. I mean, it really doesn't matter. I mean, if a parent telling a little fib to their child is no different than the politician standing up there and blatantly telling lies on the radio or the TV or anywhere. So we want to appear to be in the best, our best in front of others. And because we do not want them to see the inside, which can be a little unseemly. And that's the problem. We're trying to make ourselves look better than we actually are, so we lie. And so we make people think that we're godly, when in fact, we're just as worldly as anybody else. All right. We lie to ourselves. And sometimes we do that. And we have a lot of passages in the Bible says, do not be deceived. Do not deceive yourselves. I mean, 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Well, I don't have any sin. I'm not guilty of any sin. And yet we can also read in the Bible that all have sinned and fall short of His glory. And so we're just deceiving ourselves if we think we're such a goody two-shoes that we never sin. I mean, that is deceiving ourselves. Where we need to be is acknowledging the fact, yes, I am a sinner. I need forgiveness. And that always needs to be the case. And as long as I'm trying to serve God properly, yes, He's going to forgive me. And we know that's the case. And we lie often and strongly enough to others, eventually we'll begin to believe the lie. You know, that's what they said one time, one of the politicians said, you tell a lie long enough, people's going to start believing it. And that has happened over the years. We've seen it. I mean, one group starts saying, okay, they start promoting this, and everybody all of a sudden believed that's the way it was. When in reality, it didn't happen that way. But yet, they believe it anyway. And so, why do they do it? Because we want to feel good about ourselves. That's why we lie to ourselves. We want to feel good about ourselves. Well, you're not so bad, really. See, we might rationalize our sin by saying, well, I'm not as faithful as I should be, but hey, with all that I have to do, it's hard to find time to attend all the services. I mean, I'm not as faithful as I should be, but, I mean, just fill in the blank there. If you realize you're not as faithful as you should be, that ought to be the first indicator you need to make some changes. Because we all need to work to be as faithful as we should be. And we might try and trivialize it by saying, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. You know, we can always find some nefarious characters. I'm not as bad. You know, I'm not as bad as Charles Manson. I'm not as bad as Saddam Hussein. I'm not as bad as Osama bin Laden. I'm not as bad as you. Fill in the blank. Now, flip that around. Are you as good as Jesus? No. We're not there, but you know what? That's where we're supposed to be. That is where we're supposed to be. So, we might use 100 other ways in which to convince ourselves that everything is just fine in our relationship with the Lord. And a lot of people do that. Some people, they may show up to services, go to church maybe once every 3 or 4 months. But in their mind, hey, I'm faithful. And that's what they do. And so there's different things. Some people say, well, I read a Bible passage every now and then, so I'm in good standing with the Lord. I mean, things like that. And honestly, people feel that way. they feel, I'm fine with this. And it doesn't matter what church they go to, what preachers they might listen to on the radio. Hey, it's all okay. I'm faithful with the Lord. Sometimes we lie to God. You think, well, who would do that? Because God knows everything. Well, he does, but you know what? We may even know that God knows everything, but you know what? We're trying to rationalize and reason why I didn't do what I was supposed to do. See, 1 John 1:10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Because God has said, all have sinned. And if we say we have not sinned, that's basically calling God a liar. And his word is not in us. See, we made ourselves liars, and now we try to make God a liar. Whether we're intentionally trying to do that or it's unintentional, that's still what happens. When these people say you don't need to be baptized to have salvation, where the Bible clearly says you need to be baptized to have salvation, somebody's lying. And they're saying that God is a liar. God put it in the Bible, so it's not necessary. I mean, does that make a lot of sense? It really doesn't make any sense at all. If God put it in the Bible, I mean, it's important. It is his word, and we should be doing it. And so, this happens, and we contradict his word, which tells us all have sinned. And so, somehow we maintain that we are exceptions to that rule, ignoring that God, who is higher than us and mightier than us, cannot lie. You ever feel that way? I'm an exception to the rule. God said this, but I haven't been doing it, but I'm still okay. That's kind of like what we're doing. We're trying to tell, well, I'm an exception to the rule. And there's rules out there. Well, there's a stop sign. You just roll right on through it. Well, I'm an exception to the rule is what you're telling society and the rest of the world, and that's what you're telling God. God, I don't have to stop at this stop sign. I didn't see any cars coming, so I just kept on going. You know, if a policeman happened to see you do that, what's he going to do? He's going to give you a ticket. Why? Because there's a stop sign there. You're supposed to stop. We can also be lying by eating the Lord's Supper while being unmoved by the sacrifice of God's Son. You know, our purpose in coming together is to break bread, to observe the holy communion of what Jesus did for us, memorializing his death, burial, and resurrection. And if all we're doing, we're just going along getting the pinch and the sip, I mean, that's it. Sometimes listening to sermons while being untouched by the Bible's teaching. Sometimes obstinate in our refusal to change. A lot of people hear the message, but it doesn't faze them. They don't see where they need to make any changes in their own life. And going through an entire church service, merely crossing the T's and dotting the I's, bidding the time until it's over for another week. You know, some people, it appears that's all they get out of church is, well, I've done my duty to God. I mean, that's basically it. And yeah, okay, well, I'm glad the preacher preaches the truth. I'm glad we don't use instruments of music in our singing. I'm glad that we wear the name of the Lord on our sign outside. I mean, just going through the motions, and this was the problem they had back in the Old Testament, where Isaiah said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So that's another problem. That's what this takes place. Now the remedy for lying. All right, is honesty. I mean, being honest. You know, we must be honest with others. If you're going to have any credibility at all, you've got to be honest. I mean, if you're in the business world and you're not honest, guess what? The word's going to get around. Don't go to that person. They'll cheat you. And they're not going to have any customers. See, Ephesians 4:25 says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. We're to speak the truth to each other. And sometimes we have a difficult time doing that because it's hard to admit I have flaws. It is hard to admit that I have problems. It's hard to admit that I have done things that I shouldn't have done. It is hard to admit those things. And so to speak to our brethren, well, they might not think so highly of me if I tell them I have a flaw. So face it, others can see through the hypocrisy if we may try to maintain. And yeah, it shows up. People can see that stuff, and they can see hypocrisy, and they recognize it. See, confessing our sins to one another, James 5:16, is a wonderful first step in repairing a relationship with God. I have sinned. I did something wrong. I said something I shouldn't have said. I did something I shouldn't have done. And going to our brethren and saying, this is what I've done. I need prayers. I mean, that's a great first step to get us back on the pathway in our relationship with God. And, of course, one another. See, we need to be honest with ourselves. And that's something else. We need to be honest with ourselves. And like I said, a lot of times we just lie to ourselves. And there's reasons why we're doing that, but we still need to be honest with ourselves. See, all of us must be willing to test yourselves. See if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. Sometimes an honest evaluation of ourselves sometimes has to come from somebody else because we're not willing to do that. We're not willing to admit to ourselves that I might have a fault. I might have a problem. I might have an issue that could possibly even keep me out of heaven. So sometimes we need somebody else honest enough and sincere enough and concerned about us enough tell us it appears we have a problem. See, self-examination must be done with the willingness towards making the proper changes, however difficult they may be to make. And like I say, if we're deceiving ourselves and we're saying, oh, you're okay, nothing wrong with me, then what are we going to do to improve ourselves? We're not going to do anything to improve ourselves. So we must be honest with ourselves and see about that. So frank, honest, personal scrutiny is not easy, but if you don't do it, how will you be restored to fellowship with God? The answer is simple, you won't. And so, finally, we must be honest with God. And so, though he knows what we need before we ask, as we read there in Matthew 6:8, he knows everything about us. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He could tell you how many cells are in our body at any given moment. He knows everything. And yet, if we tell God something other than what he knows, guess what we've done? We've lied. So, he desires that our relationship with him be open, honest, and humble. We just need to be like that publican. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And that's what we need to do. We need to acknowledge our sins. We need to ask forgiveness of our sins. First and foremost, if we can't come to see that we have sins, we've got a problem. And in the end, it won't be good for us. So, we must come before him with a contrite, sincere recognition of our sins, willing to submit fully to him in every way. And by fully submit to him in every way, okay, well, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But then we turn around and keep doing the same thing. I mean, that really doesn't say a lot. If we realize I have sinned, now I need to work on preventing that sin again. And that's where we need to look at it. And that's why we need that examination. Oh, but I'm having too much fun doing this. You know, some people do that. But they still want to feel like they're right with God. How many people do you know that they know they're involved in sin, but they still think they have a good relationship with God? There's a lot of people out there that feel that way. So surely the proverb is true. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. I mean, Proverbs 28 has a lot of good statements in it, and this is just one of them. And so we have many commands not to lie. We have the words that those who practice lying will have to end up in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Lying is a sin. Liars, do not lie to one another. We've got so many passages. Speak the truth with one another. I mean, there's those passages. And of course, lying is always associated with Satan. And those who lie will not go to heaven. Satan's not going to heaven. And those who lie are not going to go to heaven if they continue lying and don't give up that practice. So that means changes have to be made. And for a lot of us, a lot of changes need to be made. And so we need to do that. And we need to be honest. So let's make an effort to remove the lying from our lives. And like I said at the beginning, it doesn't matter the reason why we're doing it. If it's not the truth, it is a lie. And if we're doing it to make ourselves look better than we actually are, if we're trying to hide the truth from somebody because we didn't do what we were supposed to do, remember as kids, when you didn't get one of your chores done, what did you do? First thing out of your mouth was a lie. Now, who wants to disagree with me? I didn't think so. So anyway, and so, why didn't you do that? Well, I didn't want to do it. I mean, that could be one response, and maybe that's the truth. But truth is always better than a lie. Because there's a passage in Numbers 32 and verse 23. It says, be sure your sins will find you out. We need to remember that. So that's our lesson this morning. It's a very simple lesson, but one that we need to be impressed with, and the fact that I'm just as guilty as the next person. And I can probably say there's not one of us in this room who is exempt from this lesson. We all have to deal with it. Maybe in different measures, maybe we don't do as much as somebody else, but you know what? How many does it take? How many lies does it take to keep us out of heaven? That's right, just one. So think about that and see and look and see if you need to make some changes in your life and make those necessary changes so that you can be in a right relationship with God. So stop lying to yourself, stop lying to others, stop lying to God. All right, that's our lesson. Consider these thoughts. We're going to sing an invitation song. If anyone is compelled to decide, I need some help, we'll be glad to pray for you. So I invite you to come all together. We stand and sing.